Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the Clark Center for Civics, Politics, and Global Affairs. I'm your host, Max Clark, and welcome to our masterclass. Today, our masterclass will be about false imprisonment. And the term false imprisonment just happens to be the Black's Law Dictionary word of the day. Now, before we get into that, we are going to do a little housekeeping. The Clark Center for Civics, Politics, and Global Affairs is brought to you by OurTinyLittleKitchen.com. That's OurTinyLittleKitchen.com, where our food has soul. Go to OurTinyLittleKitchen.com for all of your catering needs. Also, we are brought to you by GoatableGear.com. That's GoatableGear.com. Loving who you are and loving what you do. Now, as it relates to false imprisonment, there have been several cases that have come to light in the media through the advent of cell phone video, where people have been falsely detained because another person felt that that particular person shouldn't be in that area, or that person shouldn't have the right to do what they're doing in that particular space. So in order to protect ourselves from false imprisonment from those who don't have the authority to do so, and those who have the authority to do so as well, we're going to get familiar with the law. We're going to get familiar with the law and how we can use it to protect ourselves. But first, we're going to look at the definition of false imprisonment through Black's Law Dictionary. Now, false imprisonment is a restraint of a person in a bounded area without justification or consent. False imprisonment is a common law misdemeanor and a tort. It applies to private as well as governmental detention. Now, that is the Black's Law Dictionary definition of false imprisonment. Now, in the state of Illinois, where we are, the definition, or according to the law, in section 10.3 of the law for false imprisonment, it talks about unlawful restraint. Now, part A says a person commits the offense of unlawful restraint when he or she is knowingly, without legal authority, detaining another person. Part B states that as it relates to the sentence that comes with false imprisonment or unlawful restraint, unlawful restraint is a class 4 felony. Okay, in the state of Illinois, unlawful restraint is a class 4 felony. Now, in general, false imprisonment occurs when a person, again, who doesn't have the legal authority or justification, when they intentionally restrain another person's ability to move freely. This can also be called unlawful imprisonment in the first degree and is detailed in the penal code for your state. So if you're not in Illinois, you need to look for the penal code in your respective state as it relates to false imprisonment so you can learn how to better protect yourself from problem situations. Now, what we're going to talk about now, what we're going to go over right now is just an overview, and we're going to go over false imprisonment in general as it relates all across the country. Okay, but again, look to your penal code for your state. Okay, I am not a lawyer here at the Clark Center for Civics, Politics, and Global Affairs, but I am giving you the law as it is given to us. We're going to talk about examples of false imprisonment, different situations. So, for example, an armed bank robber yells at the customers to get down on the floor, threatening to shoot them if they try to leave, right? So since they know that if they try to escape, the customers, they try to escape, that there's a chance that they can be killed or suffer serious bodily harm if they try to leave. So in that case, they are being held against their will. Now, the captive bank customers, they may be able to claim damages, and the bank robber may be charged with the crime or false imprisonment. Now, these crimes can be a misdemeanor or a felony depending on the circumstances. And even the police may be charged with false imprisonment if they exceed their authority. Okay, when the police exceeds their authority as it relates to false imprisonment, which means that they're detaining someone without justification. Now, in fact, any person who intentionally restricts another's freedom of movement without their consent, they may be liable as well for false imprisonment, which is a crime and a civil wrong, just like, you know, other offenses, including assault and battery. You know, these things can occur in a room, on the streets, you know, or even in a moving car. You can be falsely imprisoned. Now, similarly, false arrest is when someone arrests another individual without the legal authority to do so, which becomes false imprisonment the moment he or she is taken into custody. Now, elements of false imprisonment. So when we look at all states have false imprisonment laws to protect against unlawful confinement. Now, to prove a false imprisonment claim as a tort in a civil lawsuit, the following elements must be present. If there was a willful detention, if the detention was without consent, and if the detention was unlawful. Now, you can file a claim if it meets these three requirements or these three elements. False imprisonment can come in any form, in many forms. Physical force is often used, but it's not required to be a false imprisonment claim. Okay, again, physical force is often used, but it isn't required to file a false imprisonment claim. Now, the restraint of a person may be imposed by physical barriers, such as being locked in a car, okay, or by unreasonable duress. For example, holding someone's valuables with the intent to coerce them to remain at a location, okay? You know, they're using leverage, they're holding, you know, against you in order to keep you where you are so that you won't leave. False imprisonment. To claim false imprisonment, you must reasonably believe that you were confined, and a court will determine whether the belief is reasonable by determining what a reasonable person would do or believe under similar circumstances. Additionally, the actor must have the intent to commit the confinement without the privilege to do so. So if a shopkeeper is investigating a shoplifting, you know, or civilians who have witnessed a felony have necessary privilege to meet legal standards. So examples of false imprisonment may include a person locking another person in a room without their permission, a person grabbing onto another person without their consent and holding them so that they can't leave, a security guard or a store owner who detains someone for an unreasonable amount of time based on their appearance, an employer who detains someone for questioning for an unreasonable amount of time for suspected theft. And these are examples of false imprisonment. Also, a nursing home staff who medicates a patient without their consent under physical or emotional threat. These are examples of false imprisonment. Now, the following examples I'm going to call out to you, they don't constitute false imprisonment. Okay, again, they do not constitute false imprisonment. A claim that you are falsely imprisoned simply because you were found innocent of a crime, right? Also, a person who grabs your arm, but you know that you can free yourself from this person's grip without fear of retaliation, you know, so you kind of snatch your arm away, not fearing that this person is going to retaliate against you. A storekeeper who detains you for a reasonable amount of time for questioning based on probable cause, such as if she saw you take a concealed item out of the store without paying for it. A person who closes the front door and asks you not to leave, but you know that you can leave through an open side door. Okay, so if someone is detaining you against your will and they stop you from getting out of the front door, if you can leave out the side door or the back door, then that's not false imprisonment. Now, defenses to false imprisonment claims, they often turn on whether the person claiming the false imprisonment gave consent, either actual or implied, or whether the person who confined another had reasonable grounds to justify the imprisonment. Now, we're going to talk about a couple of common defenses to a false imprisonment claim. And one of them is voluntary consent. Voluntary consent, which is a person who consents to confinement without duress, coercion, or fraud, may not later claim false imprisonment. Therefore, voluntary consent to confinement is often a defense to false imprisonment. So, if voluntary consent occurs, then you cannot file a claim of false imprisonment. Police privilege is another. In all states, police officers have the right to detain someone they have probable cause to believe has engaged in wrongdoing, or when they believe a crime has been committed. So police have the authority to do that. They have what you call the shopkeeper's privilege. Many states have laws protecting merchants from false imprisonment claims. These laws typically allow merchants to detain retail patrons for a brief period of time when they have reasonable grounds to believe that the person has committed retail theft. In many instances, a shopkeeper is limited to detaining a person to request or verify their ID, make a reasonable inquiry into whether the person has purchased the merchandise, and/or to hold the person in custody until a peace officer arrives. Peace officer. Now, in determining liability, a court would look at whether the store's actions under the circumstances were reasonable. A guilty shoplifter can still sue for false imprisonment than if the detention was unreasonable. Okay, you can shoplift. You know, we're not telling people to shoplift, but if you're found guilty of shoplifting, you can still file a false imprisonment claim if the detention was unreasonable. Okay. Citizen's arrest. Now, that's been coming up a lot lately in the news. Let's talk about that. Now, in some instances, a person who is not law enforcement, okay, again, a person who was not a law enforcement official can make a citizen's arrest by calling for a peace officer when a crime is committed or attempted in their presence. Although this defense is not meant to give citizens the right to, you know, take the place of law enforcement. Okay, so you can look for your legislation about citizens' arrest laws in your respective states. I would highly suggest you do so. Now, let's talk about false imprisonment versus kidnapping. Okay, so now in the Illinois law, false imprisonment, the majority of that law, like over 95% of that law, deals with kidnapping. Now, that's how it is in the state of Illinois. No, you look at your state's codes and see what it talks about. Okay, there's very little that talks about just a general false imprisonment in the Illinois law. Okay, so you have to do your own research. False imprisonment versus kidnapping. So the main difference is that the crime of kidnapping is when one person abducts another to a new place, right? From one place to another, and usually followed by holding them against their will. Now, false imprisonment cannot occur in the kidnapping situation because the person has been removed to a new area. Okay, I'll say that again. False imprisonment cannot occur in a kidnapping situation because the person has been removed to a new area. They're not in the same area that they're being detained at, that they're being falsely imprisoned. Okay, once that person is removed from one place and moved to a new place, then that's kidnapping. Okay, if not, then that's false imprisonment. Now, this can involve the use of force, unlawful restraint, bodily injury, traveling a substantial distance, or crossing state borders. Okay, we're talking about kidnapping. And there are state laws regarding the specific requirements for aggravated kidnapping, second-degree kidnapping, or other kidnapping charges. So all of these criminal charges in nature and are serious, you know, these are serious charges, even if non-custodial parents take their child without the other parent's consent. Okay, that is kidnapping and not false imprisonment. Okay, just to let you know. So do me a favor, go to our Twitter, go to our Facebook, go to our Instagram, the Clark Center, at the Clark Center. Like us, follow us, tag a friend, tell a friend. Okay, if you found this information to be helpful to you, okay, please, please follow us, because we have more great information that we will be presenting to you. We are here to help create a more informed and educated electorate as we navigate through life in this country and as we go to the polls during election time. We know who we're voting for, we know what we're voting for, and if we don't take the opportunity to know the law, to know the Constitution, to know about certain statutes and ordinances, we will continue to be victims, okay? We will continue to be victims of a system that really didn't set us up to understand the law. So therefore, the law works against us, okay? The law works against you if you don't know what the law contains. As always, love somebody, but more importantly, love yourself. Take care of yourselves and each other. Peace.